bringing the light of Jesus Christ to a world darkened with sin. This is the Lighthouse Radio Bible Study, an outreach ministry of the Progressive Primitive Baptists. Our purpose at the Lighthouse is to present you the truth of God's Word and its relevancy for your daily living. We want to help equip you to light your world with the truth of Jesus Christ, that Jesus is both Lord and Savior. Hello, my name is Scott Ryan, and I invite you to join us now as we study God's Word together.
Welcome, and thank you for joining us today at the Lighthouse. I'm your host and radio Bible teacher, Scott Reiner. Today, our study will come from Matthew chapter 23, verses 27 and 28, where we will focus our study on hypocrisy in the church. We will attempt to define hypocrisy in its original usage and how Jesus used this term to designate individuals who are outwardly pretending to be one thing, while on the inside, they were something different. We will also examine the two principal ways that hypocrisy in the church is demonstrated. True or authentic believers will most likely discover that they have more in common with the second usage of hypocrisy than they may actually realize. To some degree, hypocrisy is a sin that affects numerous believers, and often we don't even realize it. But as our hypocrisy is exposed to us, we must do whatever it takes to get rid of it so that our lives before Christ will be real or authentic, and therefore pleasing to Him. So please join with us for today's study. I encourage you to take your Bibles and turn with me today to the Gospel of Matthew. And there I'd like to read from the 23rd chapter, verses 27 and 28, as we focus our thoughts today on hypocrisy in the church. Once again, we'll be reading from Matthew chapter 23, verses 27 and 28. When we were young children, a very large and natural part of our childhood play contained an element of make-believe. For example, we would pretend to be something that we were not. Little boys would often pretend to be policemen, firemen, astronauts, or even a famous sports figure. Little girls would often pretend to be a nurse, a school teacher, a glamorous movie star, or perhaps even a mother. Now, normally, this make-believe was very constructive because of the positive types of characters we were pretending to be. Most of them served as good role models. And as we aspired to be like them, certain qualities and values tended to rub off on us. After all, almost no one really wanted to be the bad guy in Cops and Robbers. Now, a lot has changed since I was young. But there are times in our Christian life, however, when we tend to incorporate a sense of make-believe into our spiritual lives. But Christ has revealed through His Word, and in no uncertain terms, that He is not interested in make-believe, but rather His interests lie with the substance of reality and truth. The Apostle Paul stated in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 11, "When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things." Now, this make-believe in our childhood play was generally very harmless. But when it comes to the Christian life, make-believe is very serious business. It is extremely dangerous. And the Word of God even describes it as being sin. In fact, it's no longer called make-believe, but rather it is called hypocrisy. Now, this 23rd chapter of the Gospel of Matthew is a very familiar passage of Scripture. Here, Jesus openly rebukes and exposes the true nature of the scribes' and Pharisees' religion, which was purely external. The goal of their religious efforts, as Christ put it, was to be seen of men. In Matthew chapter 23 and verse 5, Jesus says, "But all their works they do to be seen of men." In other words, their religion was a vehicle of self-exaltation. They were more concerned about their appearance and standing before men than their appearance and standing before God. They were pretending to be something that they were not. They were pretending to be righteous, holy, ambassadors of God, and keepers and preservers of the law. But Jesus revealed their true identity in revealing their hypocrisy. Time and time again in this chapter, Jesus pronounces woes and judgments upon them and charges them with the heinous sin of hypocrisy. Now, with that in mind, read with me from Matthew chapter 23, verses 27 and 28. Beginning with verse 27, Jesus says, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you are like whitewashed tombs, which indeed appear beautiful outwardly, but inside are full of dead men's bones and all uncleanness. Even so, you also outwardly appear righteous to men, but inside you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness." One constant charge that is repeatedly directed at the church is that she is an organization filled with religious hypocrites. Instead of her motto being, "Go and conquer in the name of Christ," it should be, "Do as I say and not as I do." Now, no one can deny that hypocrisy is a sin that plagues the church, especially in the type of society in which we live today. But what we must understand is that there is no such thing as the perfect church, simply because the church is made up of imperfect individuals, that is, sinners. Sinners who claim to be saved by the grace of God. The church will never be perfect until the return of the Lord Jesus Christ, when we as the body of Christ, that is the church, will be perfected through our glorification in Christ. But until that time, we struggle and labor for conformity to the image of Christ, which is total perfection. Now, this struggle is real, and this struggle is difficult. But it is a struggle for what we call theologically progressive sanctification, to progress in being set apart from this world and becoming more and more like Jesus Christ. And the idea that we cannot reach total perfection in this life does not and should not give us the authority to do merely what we can to just get by. Sometimes we are called up with the mentality of just being good enough. But this kind of mentality has devastating consequences for us as individuals and for us as the body of Christ. God demands nothing but the best from His people. And this includes you and myself, because God gave His best. God gave us His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to die as a substitute for our sins. Therefore, we should show our love for God, our appreciation, our thankfulness for what He has done by engaging in a serious pursuit of holiness when it comes to the quality of our lives before Him. And this involves the eradicating of sin from our lives and the hungering, the thirsting, and the desire to live righteous in His sight. So God demands our best. But if we are not giving our best in this process, if we are satisfied with merely getting by or satisfied by measuring ourselves with the status quo of others, we will either be in a state of hypocrisy or we will be primed and ready to take that first step into hypocrisy. But at this point, let's stop and consider what actually is hypocrisy. What kind of sin is it specifically? Well, the term hypocrites that Jesus used here to condemn the scribes and the Pharisees for their external show of religion comes from a Greek word that refers to play acting. It was a theatrical term signifying one who was taking part in dialogue, acting a part in a play, or one who plays a part or a role. Therefore, its major implication is that of outward show. Now, Jesus uses this term for play acting to teach that a hypocrite is one who plays the part of a Christian outwardly, but one who is not really one inwardly, or one who is struggling inwardly. Merrill Unger states that the hypocrite is a double person, natural and artificial. The first he keeps to himself, the other he puts on as he does clothes to make his appearance before men. Now, people do not know the real us. They know what we project outwardly that they can see. So in this sense, we clearly observe that this term hypocrite is a very appropriate term. It not only describes these Pharisees and scribes, but it also describes those of us today who try to appear before men what we should be, but on the other hand, not before God what we actually are. We know that a hypocrite was originally a theater actor, but Christ uses this term to describe people who are guilty of intentional forms of deception, literally professing and pretending to be what they are not. This hypocritical deception is revealed in two primary ways. First of all, of a person who publicly and dogmatically condemns certain types of sin while secretly engaging in those same sins himself. Secondly, it describes a person who pretends to be more righteous than he is, or less sinful than he really is. Now, this is probably the deception which the majority of Christians are most guilty of, simply because no one likes to look bad in front of others, especially within the Christian community. So from these two perspectives, we must conclude that there is a lot of hypocrisy within the church. But interestingly, the Christian church is the only institution in the world that declares itself to be a group of people who are sinners. So you would think then that no one would accuse us of hypocrisy since we have already announced our condition to the world. But the seed of hypocrisy lies in the fact that once we are converted and are in the church, we realize that we are called to live a life of holiness. We are to live godly. Our life is to be marked by purity. Now, in the negative, that means that we are to put away sin from our life. We are to crucify the flesh. We are to stop sinning. This includes our actions, our thoughts, our motivations, and whatever else we can think of in this sense. But in the positive, it means that we are to conform every aspect of our life to the glorious image of Jesus Christ. This simply means that we are to pattern our life after the life of Christ. He is our example. And this also includes our actions, our thoughts, our motivations, and whatever else we can list regarding this issue. Now, every single last one of us should know and be thoroughly convicted that we are not to bring reproach upon our Heavenly Father, nor upon the church, the local body of Christ, by our sinful behavior. Now, recent scandals in the Christian community has brought tremendous reproach upon Christ and His church, and upon the ministry. The overall integrity of Christianity appears to be diminishing. There is a general mistrust of, quote, Christians, and especially those who are ministers or pastors. Nevertheless, however, because God's standards are so high and so holy, we as believers do often fall very short of them. And this is where hypocrisy begins to take root. This is where the sin of hypocrisy begins to be revealed in and through us. Because we cannot reach total perfection in this life, because we cannot live up entirely to the righteous standards of God, we have a tendency to do one of two things, or sometimes perhaps both. First of all, we can take the righteous laws of God, which are clearly set forth in His Word, and lower them to fit our own standards. Now, this is what is so prevalent in the Christian community today. As one author pointed out, we are in an unprecedented age of what he calls easy believism, where obedience is not a priority. The church is producing countless numbers of so-called converts who actually give no evidence of spiritual life, no evidence of having been turned from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God. They are what the Puritans refer to as gospel hypocrites. They have been told that they are saved by the gospel ministry. They have been given the assurance of their salvation by the gospel ministry. Yet all the while, they do not show any signs of spiritual life. And all because of easy believism or present-day evangelistic procedures. The question is presented, do you believe that Christ died for you? And many answer yes, without any conviction of sin from the Holy Spirit, without any true repentance, with no confession of sin, or without any awareness of their deserving wrath from a holy God, which had caused them to call out, as the publican in Luke chapter 18 and verse 13, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. You see, these are necessary fruits of conversion. The idea that all you have to be concerned about is believing. Don't worry about the word of God. After all, we're not saved by works, we're saved by grace. Is a very damaging, destructive, and deadly mindset. Theologically, this is what is called antinomianism. But if our belief in Christ is real, if our trust in Him as our Lord and Savior is real, then that belief, that trust, that faith will produce obedience to the teaching or laws of God as contained in His Word. Not so that we can be saved, but as an evidence or testimony that we are saved. In the words of Dr. Lloyd-Jones, if the grace you have received does not help you to keep the law, then you have not received grace. You see, a real profession is not just an outward show. It is something genuine and lasting, which produces obedience, or at least struggling obedience, to the standards of God's Word. The thing that stands out about easy believism is that once the emotion and enthusiasm wears off, they go back to their old way of life. True Christianity is brought about by the work of the Holy Spirit. It is a matter of the heart, and will produce in us a very deep view of the terribleness of sin. If it does not, we are in a state of hypocrisy because we're operating deceitfully about who God is and what God has called us to do and what God has called us to be. Now, secondly, the second form of hypocrisy occurs when we pretend to live at a higher level of obedience than we actually do. There is a tremendous struggle that exists between what Scripture calls the flesh and the spirit, between the old man and the new man. Now, we have to admit that there is a great deal of pressure to reach certain levels of righteousness or godliness in our lives, and if we haven't reached those points, we may sometimes pretend that we have. And this is what the sin of hypocrisy is all about. Hypocrisy is about deception. But again, Christ is concerned with reality and truth among His people, not what we pretend to be. Now, no one likes to fake, not even Christ. We must be concerned about what we are before the Lord. We have to be concerned more about that than we are pretending to be what we are before Him or before others. And this is what angered Jesus so much about the Pharisees in this chapter, but here in verses 27 and 28. Observe the imagery that Jesus uses to describe the deceptive actions of the scribes and the Pharisees. He says that they were like whitewashed tombs, which appeared beautiful outwardly. They were full of dead men's bones and uncleanness. The English theologian John Gill said that the Jewish people marked their graves with white lime so that they might be recognizable. And the purpose for this was so that people might be aware and avoid them so as not to be polluted, that is, to be declared ceremonially unclean. Under the Old Testament law, any contact with death, with the remains of the deceased, made the person unclean. And to be declared clean again, he had to go through ceremonial purification. So they marked these graves with white lime so that they might be seen and avoided. Now, the reason that they used white lime is because it looked white like bones. And it became something of a recognizable symbol, very much like green and red is today. Now, from a distance and at first glance, it appeared to be a beautiful sight. But the reality and the truth is that within these graves were dead men's bones, a place of uncleanness, that which was rotting, that which was defiled. And so the deception here is very evident. Outwardly, it looked beautiful. But inwardly was the reality of defilement. In verse 28, Jesus says, "Even so, you also outwardly appear righteous to men, but inside you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness." Just like these sepulchres, these graves, they looked beautiful on the outward, but on the inside, the reality told a different story. And Jesus said, "You're just like this." Their outward show was to appear righteous before men. But before God, they were not righteous. Now remember, God is omniscient. He knows all things. He is the searcher of hearts, thoughts, and the intentions of the mind. We can deceive men by our actions, but we cannot deceive Christ. This is why He said, "Within, on the inside, you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness." He knew, and He was exposing their hypocrisy and their lawlessness because of the deception and the hindrance that these things create. Hypocrisy deceives. It is good to no one. It's a sin. It creates a stumbling block when exposed. It can even create anger and resentment. So our priority must be concerned with our standing and appearance before God, primarily, and not before men. Now, as I say that, it's not that we're not concerned about how people perceive us. As Christians, we should be concerned, but not in the same way here. Our primary concern should be with how God sees us. And if God approves, then whatever else people may say, whatever else people may see, it will be consistent with what God views. Now, we can deceive ourselves for a time, but we cannot deceive God. So we need to pray now and consistently throughout our lives that our walk with God will be marked by honesty and integrity. That God will search our hearts and reveal hypocrisy in whatever form, and for us to be able to deal with it so that our lives will be an honest record of Christ within us. Our desire should be that God would give us the vision to be able to see that hypocrisy, to pray for forgiveness, and to pray for that passion and desire to be real. Not to pretend to be more than what we are, but to be real and to do the best that we can in our service to Him. If we as the body of Christ are going to make a difference in this world, if we are going to be faithful, if we're going to serve Christ like we should, we have to be real. We have to be authentic. Otherwise, our witness, our actions of evangelism and prayer, worship and growth are all going to be hindered. We must be holy and righteous. But we must be real when it comes to its presentation to the world around us. It's not to be hypocritical. It's not to be arrogant. It's to be real because our love for the Lord is real. Until next week, may the Lord bless you, is our prayer.
You have been listening to the Lighthouse Radio Bible Study, an evangelistic ministry of the Primitive Baptist Churches of the Southeastern United States. We encourage you to attend one of these churches whenever possible. This radio ministry and its supporters are committed to the authority, the inerrancy, and the divine inspiration of God's Holy Word, to the Saviorhood of Jesus Christ, as well as to His Lordship, and that salvation is by God's grace alone. We hope this program has had a positive spiritual influence in your life. If it has, please write us and let us know. We encourage you to be with us next week at this same time. To find out more information about the Lighthouse, you can visit us at our website at www.lighthousebiblestudy.org. That's all one word, and in all lowercase letters. Once again, that's www.lighthousebiblestudy.org. Please take a moment and visit us at our website. This program exists because evangelistically minded people like you contribute to it. If you would like to help us bring the light of Jesus Christ to a sin-darkened world, then write us at The Lighthouse, P.O. Box 1317, Baxley, Georgia, 31515. Once again, that's The Lighthouse, P.O. Box 1317, Baxley, Georgia, 31515. We would love to hear from you. Until next week, this is Scott Reiner encouraging you to light your world.